Today's reading is from John chapter 16, starting in verse 12. John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and a little while you will see me. Some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus is still preparing his disciples for his departure, and he gives them this statement that puzzles them: a little while and you will see me no longer, and again a little while you will see me. As they begin to talk amongst themselves, wondering what's meant by this. We see this a few times with his disciples, that they wonder about something he said, but for some reason won't ask them himself. They just talk amongst themselves and discuss it rather than asking Jesus what he meant. But of course, Jesus, knowing the hearts of men, he knows exactly what they're discussing with one another. And so he explains that they will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. He's telling them, in that moment, you will be sad while the world rejoices, but sorrow will then turn into joy. Even that must have been somewhat of a puzzling statement to them, not truly understanding everything that was going to happen. But to understand the idea of sorrow being turned into joy, that would be a little confusing, I think. And so he uses this description of a woman in labor. Now, a woman is joyful that she becomes with child. She carries that child to term. And even though she wants the child, even though she might be excited at having a child, she's not excited over having labor. It's not an enjoyable experience for a woman. And I think that it's a blessing that a lot of times, once you have the child, you don't think about what that labor was anymore. But he uses this picture because he says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because that hour has come. Well, the hour of pain, the hour of that difficult childbirth. And for some, it comes sooner than others. And then he states, when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers that anguish. The joy overshadows the anguish and sorrow that she once had. It's not that she won't remember it at all. Ask any woman about giving childbirth, and they'll tell you what it was like. They remember it. So it's not a matter of you don't remember it at all. It's a matter of that overshadowing effect. So the joy overwhelms the sorrow so that it is a different memory, and the joy outweighs it. And he goes on to say, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will be able to take that joy from you. And so Jesus gets a little bit more specific here, and he's saying you will have sorrow now because he's going to be going away, but I will see you again. Well, he could be talking about his resurrection. He could be talking about his return to collect his own at the end of this time period that this world will exist. Either one can fit, so it's difficult to say which one it might be. So we're a little bit separated from what these disciples are thinking about and considering. We haven't walked with Jesus on this earth. We haven't spent time with him, reclining at table, doing all these different things that all the disciples did that established more than just a teacher and disciple relationship, but a true friendship one-on-one. So we don't quite have that same experience, though we do have a relationship with Jesus. So we feel sorrow when we're away from someone. We miss them. Our mind goes to them from time to time. Maybe it's just because we live across the country from one another, or maybe it's because they've passed on and they're not here with us anymore. But nonetheless, when we're distanced from them, then we feel that sense of loss, that hole within us where they used to be. Now, if they haven't passed on and they're just living away from us or some distance away so that we can't see them, if we are then reunited, then that reunion is joyful, and so much so that we're not sitting there thinking about how much we missed them. We're thinking about how glad we are that we see them again. These disciples were going to be separated from the one whom they've spent a lot of time developing this close personal relationship with over several years. And remember that when he's arrested, they scatter, they go away. And they were very sorrowful, even so that they had a little hard time believing that he was resurrected, even when the women came and told them. So I think we can understand it. I think we can understand how they feel and what Jesus is telling them. And it doesn't really matter what sorrow we undergo in this world. There is something greater. There's something bigger. That joy that we'll have when we reach heaven will outweigh any amount of sorrow that we had to go through in this world. God tells us that we won't have any tears in heaven. We won't have any sorrows. We won't have any heartache and pain. It'll just be eternal joy in the glory of our God. And that's something to look forward to, especially in those moments in which we have to endure difficulty and sorrow in this world. We've got a lot to be sorrowful about right now. You know, there's turmoil around us. There's conflicts in parts of the world where we thought that maybe we had settled some of those conflicts. There are people that are losing their lives. There are heroic individuals that try to help others and then lose their lives. We've got COVID and its effects on the people around us. Some people affected very seriously, some pass away. We have the effects of COVID from lockdowns and different things. There's all these things that could weigh heavily on us. We need to keep our sight on that which really matters, those spiritual things, and that hope of heaven with God. That's where our spiritual vision needs to be fixed. So I encourage you to let go of the sorrow that you have and think of the joy that you will have. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.